Carolina Panthers, Dadnoff with the finish.
The captain, Barkov, leads Dadnoff into the zone. Dadnoff shoots and scores! The daddy with a rocket!
Will Kessel then overtaken by Huberto. Barkov, pass across. Dadnoff shoots and scores! It's the hat trick for Evgeny Dadnoff.
TSN 1200.
Yeah, you can hear the Who's Your Daddy chants going through the CTC. If and when fans come back. Some highlights from Evgeny Dadnoff's. Well, I don't know if they're from the last season or the last three seasons, but all I know is that he scored a lot of goals in the last 3 years. Let's see, 28 and 28 is 56 and 25. I believe that's 81. 81 goals in the last 3 years. Actually would have gotten to 30 probably if the season hadn't gone on pause. Regardless, the guy has shown the ability to put the puck in the net, and he is the newest Ottawa Senator. Signed yesterday in a surprise for most people in a good way. Nobody saw this coming, so Pierre Bedorian took care of business. And I think the best part, many good aspects to it. First of all, it's got pretty much universal acclaim, but not a long time. You know, it's 3 years. Boy, it was not that long ago in the National Hockey League. If a guy was getting 30 goals, even if he was 31 years old, he was getting a 5 or a 6 year deal. Yeah. To keep it to 3 years when he's still going to be relatively, hopefully, if you're a Sens fan, at the top of his game, that's a good piece of business.
Yeah, it is. Has not played a ton of hockey, and at the end of the day, not just scoring goals, really high hockey IQ. A very efficient player. Make other players around him better, and so I think that's a nice sign. And when you have that and the extension of Murray, these are things that we haven't seen here in Ottawa for a while. Free agent signing and a trade and an extension of a very good goaltender has won a couple of cups.
Yeah, and if you like your hockey analytics is a part of the equation as well, and your determination of a hockey player. His nerd numbers, Dadnoff's are good as well.
Well, so. And I'll say this: our next guest, that's all he does is analytics.
That's right. Without further ado, let us go to New Canaan, Connecticut, where we're joined by Pierre McGuire, busy going through his analytics numbers this morning. Sponsored by the folks at Myers Automotive Group. How are you doing this morning, Pierre?
I'm good. I like players from Chelyabinsk. I think Sean. I drafted one of them, Sergei Gonchar, who might be the best player ever out of Chelyabinsk. That's where Dadnoff is from, so I'm a big fan of players that come from there.
Yeah, beautiful little town and near the Ural Mountains, and nice little disco there right in the hotel. Yeah. Love it.
It's about 1,000 miles away from Moscow, JR. Not an easy place to get to if you're driving. A little bit easier to fly there. But
Interesting, when I flew there, Pierre, though, is that the plane was only about 50 feet off the air the whole trip. I remember us always saying, a little Aeroflot action. It's like, hey, don't you guys want to go a bit higher? Especially as we approach the mountains.
One of the most amazing things I've ever experienced in Russian travel was I remember getting on a plane and there was a big window in the nose of the plane. And I go, what is that for? And they go, that's the person that's steering the plane. I go, what do you mean? Don't the pilots do that? They go, yeah, the pilots fly the plane. This guy directs them. There's no radar.
And this is in front of you, and everyone will tell you, early scouting going to Russia, JR, the domestic Aeroflot. If you're flying international, I'd take the direct flight from Moscow to New York to Moscow. The international, I'll never forget, like literally the person having their dog sitting in the seat next. The seat belts usually never worked, and usually you could just take the window out if you wanted as well, so. It's all lots of differences. Right?
It's a really different way to travel, JR. I think you should experience it one time in your life.
Yeah, you know what? I'd love to go to Moscow someday, but I'm good. I'm good.
Moscow's great. Yeah. And so is St. Petersburg. It's just different when you leave those two places. It's just different. Anyways.
Tell us about Evgeny Dadnoff.
Very good signing.
I think it surprised a lot of people from all aspects. First of all, Ottawa hasn't made a large dent in free agents in a long, long time. So that aspect, but also the money, the term, the player. Tell us why you think it all came together that Dadnoff ends up in Ottawa.
I just think he was overlooked. I think everybody, when you looked at the Florida Panthers roster, people were looking at Mike Hoffman. And Dadnoff really didn't get a lot of love. And there were other names out there that maybe were a little bit younger. He's 31, so he's not exactly a young guy, but I think what Sean was just saying, he didn't play a ton of hockey, and he hasn't. At this level, he hasn't, for sure. I mean, he's low mileage on that. But I think he might have got overlooked just because the Hoffman thing was getting so much attention. And I think there are a lot of people around the league that are still surprised that Mike Hoffman hasn't been signed.
Who's the better player?
They're different. Dadnoff's probably more of a complete player. He can do it in a lot of different ways. I think Hoffman might be more of a pure scorer. But Dadonov can put up numbers. He can really shoot the puck. He can squeeze it real quick. And that's something, obviously, in this league where they closed a gap so quickly on you, when you can shoot the puck like he can, I think that really helps. But I think it, as a complete player, I think Dadonov's probably a little bit better. As a pure scorer, Hoffman's probably just a tinge better, but not by a lot.
I think a lot of people look at this as a real good value signing for Ottawa as 100%. Well, in terms of the term and the money. So I'll do what I always do when it comes to trades and these types of things. I'll flip it on its ear and I'll say to you, Pierre McGuire, why wouldn't the Florida Panthers want to keep him at that term and dollar?
I think they're just going through a different situation in terms of how they want to be. And they've got a new manager. They've got a new assistant manager in Paul Fenton. You know, obviously, Billy Zito wants to come in and put his kind of stamp on it. And I think they want to go with some different types of players, and they don't want to have the same kind of dressing room as they had a year ago. And I don't think that's a reflection on Dadonov. I think it's just a reflection on they're changing the message around the room, and they want to get different players in there. I think that's more than anything else what this is about.
For Florida, trying to make forward progress, they've made the trade with Pittsburgh. They're going to, well, they lost Dadonov, and I'm assuming Luz Hoffman.
Yep.
A team that was on the edge of making the playoffs, Pierre, they certainly have not improved themselves.
Well, you and I would probably see it that way. They're probably saying, well, we are getting better because we want to become a harder team to play against. We want to be more robust. We want to be a little bit more energy-wise, competitive. And so they're going in with their vision. That's every manager's opportunity to build the team in their vision. And I think, you know, they want to become a more of a hard-edged type of a team. It clearly looks like that with the type of signings they're making or trades that they're making, and the people that they're letting go. So I think that, you know, that's probably part of it. It's just the managerial vision for the team.
It's funny, the Sens put out sort of a highlight pack of his some of his goals last year, and the first three were all these kind of threaded needle passes by Huberdeau to him standing in front and him whacking it right into the net. Yep. The Sens don't have a Jonathan Huberdeau kind of player, but if you look at who Ottawa has right now, is there a natural fit for with a Dadonov of the forwards that are on the team right now or that you can think of?
I'd have to think about that. That's kind of interesting coming out of the box like that, but I'd have to think about something like that.
Is he work better, I guess, with a real good playmaker or a power forward guy like Tkachuk or what?
Yeah, he'd probably be better with a playmaking type of a player. I know you're going to probably laugh, but I'd like to see how it would work out early on with a Colin White to try to get White going offensively, not just, you know, pitching old Colin White and saying now you get to be a, you know, one-dimensional checking kind of a player. I'd like to see him get an opportunity like that, but again, I don't know how they're going to do it.
I actually said that in the first hour. Do you not look at this when White and Tkachuk were basically with Stone? This guy has a lot. Now, not the reverse ass, but he's got the ability to make plays is exactly White needs, like Stone did.
Well, I didn't know that you had said that, but that's the kind of guy that I would like to see get an opportunity to play with that, not for sure.
So Simmer brought up a good point earlier this morning, I thought. So the Sens have certainly gone out and made a big effort to try to improve the goaltending and giving a big extension at some large dollars to Matt Murray, and they make this move yesterday and significant dollars. But the defense at this point, Pierre, they've kind of gone, we'll say stopgap for now, and I know they've got some good prospects coming, but we know how long it takes defensemen to kind of graduate, and we know they also all probably won't turn out to be NHL players. So why do you think they've gone about kind of team building the way that they have with kind of the defense at this point looking like sort of the sore point of the team?
Well, I just think, again, it's harder to find defense. That's one of the reasons why I thought this draft was so darn good for them. Jake Sanderson's, he's going to be really good. It's not going to take him long to get in there. I think Tyler Cleven is another one that I think can eventually, and it won't take as long as a lot of people think just because he plays more of a simple game. I think he can kind of jump in there. I don't know about, you know, bad-mouthing, and I don't think you're bad-mouthing, but seeing the negative things on their defense, I think they're actually going to turn it in pretty quick into a very competitive team on defense. So, again, I know they're not a lot of big names, but their team is a little bit better than people think. And you've got one guy in particular that's a star player, and that's Thomas Chabot, and you can build around somebody like that, and that's what I think they're trying to do more than anything else.
You may be able to build around him, but are you protecting him with the right side of Brown, Zaitsev, Gabranson, and Zub?
Well, you are. You talking about physical or?
No. None of them are good enough to play with him.
Nobody's going to run after him, I can tell you that. You got two big trees in Gudbranson and Brown. They're both big guys, and Gudbranson can get a little squirrely. I mean, he can. So people around the league know that. I don't think anybody's going to be taking runs at Thomas Chabot.
Yeah, but I don't know if that protection that can't play Pierre, if that really works. And I say that in the sense of Mark Methot wasn't a overly robust guy, but he was a big guy that could at least get in the way in the scrums with Carlson. So, no, he is. But my point is, hey, I understand that. But when you load up again with guys that none of these guys could play regular, this guy's going to play 30 minutes. I don't know that any of them are capable either.
Yeah,
either
fair.
In ability. That's all I'm saying.
No, that's fair.
And for the forward group on paper and the goalies, Pierre, I just kind of look at it and think, wow, the defense right now just doesn't quite match up. Where I think you get really excited about the forward and the decor or our goalies for this year.
Yeah, no, I agree with. I think that's more than fair. You know, it's not easy to find defensemen, but the one thing I like is they've drafted some, and two of them in particular, Sanderson and Klevin, in this draft. I think they're going to be really good players, and I don't think it's going to take – I think Sanderson's going to be a one-and-done at North Dakota. I really do. Jacob Bernard Docker's another guy that's just down the street, you know, I think a year away coming into play. So I think the cavalry's on the way to fix it. I really do.
No, and I agree with that. I just look at a couple subtle moves recently. Is that DeMello at a low cost, even what he signed in Winnipeg, would have fit with Chabot to protect your investment. And Borowiecki's a better player than Gabranson or Brown. As to why you wouldn't have made two subtle moves like that.
Yeah, that part I don't know. Yeah. I just don't know. I don't know what was going through their minds on Borowiecki. I just don't know.
Does Dadonoff only get 3 years, Pierre, because that's where we're at right now with in terms of teams, budgets, cap, all that other stuff? Because, yeah, as I said off the top, boy, that a guy with those kind of numbers as late as last year in free agency would have got, I would think, 5 years minimum.
Well, yeah, no, but that's what we talked about for a long time now. This is the new NHL. And the fact that people and agents in particular are going to have to wrap their head around the fact that we're not going to see those kind of numbers for a while. We're just not going to. And, you know, ask Mike Hoffman how comfortable it is right now. Not easy when you don't have a job. The seats are starting to fill up here, and there are not going to be a lot of jobs left. And you're going to have to take what the team's prepared to give you. That's just a new NHL for a while now. It's what it's going to be.
Do you feel like this is trending towards, well, I feel bad for Duclair, that this is kind of a one-year deal and maybe a minimal raise on the 1.6 he made last year?
I don't even know if you get a raise.
Yeah,
that's the new NHL. You know, if you go back to when I was in the bubble, I was telling you guys, there's a whole different era coming. And people didn't really believe it. And I'm telling you, when you're around these people every day in the bubble and there's nowhere else to go and you're talking straight hockey business, it's scary. I think it's a 1 or 2 year adjustment period, and then maybe we get back to where we need to be. But until there are fans in the building, this is the kind of business that hockey business is going to be.
Would this be, and the Ottawa Senators have a lot of good young prospects, and if you want to talk about kind of team building and your opportunity to set your team up for a lot of years with so much uncertainty out there, if you're so, and it's a roll of the dice, but if you're sold on a Josh Norris and a Drake Batherson, and Brady Tkachuk's at a different level, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But those guys as kind of, you know, if not in your core, right there, long-term, you know, signing them to longer-term deals that you might get a little bit less dollars. Like, would you take that gamble at this point in time on those
absolutely.
Types of players?
I think that's a really good point. But you can't do it with everybody. You got to identify who your core seven are or your core five are and go with them. And then everybody else has to fall in line. But I definitely, it's something I would think about. Absolutely. I think it's a really valid point.
With a small upgrade on D, do you see Ottawa being a playoff contender on paper right now?
I do. And a lot of it's going to be youthful enthusiasm. Some of it's going to be stability and goal. A lot of it's going to be the way they're going to be able to, I think, play a lot of different ways offensively. They'll be able to ground and pound. They'll be able to outskill you a little bit and outspeed you a little bit in the neutral zone. I see a lot of positives there for that group. And, you know, again, in 2 years, people are going to be saying, wow, I didn't realize these guys were that good. And there are a lot of people around the league that still aren't identifying how good Ottawa is, and they're making a mistake. Telling you right now, Montreal and Ottawa are going to be lethal. They're going to be very, very dangerous.
I did the Corsi of their forwards off.
Yeah, how'd you do?
I don't even know what it means.
I know that you're a team that another Eastern Conference team you're very bullish on is the New York Rangers. They did some business yesterday as well. Tony D'Angelo, the defenseman, gets a 2-year deal, $4.8 million. He was the fourth highest scoring defenseman in the NHL last year, and that's with Adam Fox being on that team as well. Is there going to be a long-term spot for this guy, do you think, Pierre? Because defensively, I think he struggles quite a bit. Like, what's the future for him in New York, do you think?
That's a good question, too. I mean, the biggest thing with Anthony is he is a lot about offense. You know, you think about it, he can really get you going offensively because he can really skate. I think the one thing, though, when you look at it, for the Rangers, they're a fun team. They're must-watch TV. They really are. And the biggest thing with Tony is he's a New Jersey kid, so he's kind of a local guy for the Rangers. You know, originally a first-round pick of Tampa, and it just never materialized for him in some of the different places, whether it was Arizona or Tampa. But he's very, very good offensively. I think everybody knows that. And I thought last year he actually became a little bit more responsible defensively as well, plays with a lot of energy. And I think, you know, again, this is a real indication of where the market is right now. That's why he gets a two-year deal, and it's for less than $5 million a year.
Wanted to ask you about Zdeno Chara. His agent is Matt Cater, right?
Correct.
Who you know very well in Boston, and an insider training on TSN last night. Matt Cater said, quote, "We're looking at all options as far as Chara's future go." Yeah. Is there a chance that Zdeno Chara is going to play for a team other than plays for a team other than Boston?
I'm just going to tell you, I talked to Matt a fair bit, and last week I was talking to him, and I said, "What's going to happen? Is Chara going to sign right out of the box with Boston?" He says, "We're in no rush. We're just going to take our time. He's very comfortable where he is right now." And so I took him at his word, and that's exactly what they've done. They've taken their time. The fact that they're going to look around at other teams, and that's out there publicly, it might tell you that maybe the Bruins aren't in a rush to get him signed. So I haven't spoken with Matt probably since last week, so I'll probably give him a call over the weekend. But I just, again, the fact that they've done that, or he said that publicly, tells me that maybe the Bruins aren't in a rush to get something done.
How are you feeling about this as a sales for a right side in Ottawa? Zaitsev, Zub, and Big Z. What do you think?
Z on the right side?
I just throwing that out there. Yeah, I was just stirring it up with the
fun. Z playing on the right side anytime soon.
Well, he's turned so much to his left. What if we start turning him the other way?
I wonder, you know, as we saw, you know, earlier this week where the comments of Brendan Gallagher's agent, all of a sudden, boom, you know, he comes out and says, you know, talks are broken off, boom, they got a deal within a day. I wonder if this is also you know, an agent kind of getting the word out there of like, look, Bruins, if you want Chara back, let's get down to business here. Otherwise, we're looking around. I wonder if that may be at play as well.
Yeah, that I don't know, and I can't speculate on it, but I just can tell you what Matt told me last week is that they were going to take their time with this whole thing. In terms of the Gallagher situation, I thought it was handled really well by both sides. And I also think, and I said this to you on the air, you know, Jeff Molson's a passionate guy, and he understands the important players in the marketplace, and Brendan Gallagher is a really important player in that marketplace, just like Carey Price and Shea Weber, and you know, it's Jeff's team. And at some point, I think he probably got involved too. Say, well, wait a second here, we're not going to play this game. This is an important player. This is a key part of our future, and we have a real good team, and they do. I think Montreal set themselves to be very, very good for a while. So again, you know. If you're the owner of a team and you see a player that might be alienated in the process, you want to fix that pretty quick. And I think they were able to do that in Montreal.
The other name that came up was Patrick Laine again, and his name's been out there a lot. Right. And they talked to his agents, who include Ottawa's own Andy Scott, and said, look, he hasn't asked for a trade, and he is not going to be a training camp holdout. But it would be of a mutual benefit for him to be moved along. Seems to be the consensus. So as the dust settles now on free agency, we're through the draft. Is it a possible, like, our teams is kind of in a lane in the weeds, and are we, because that would be whatever he gets traded, if he does, that'll be a big deal. Are there teams out there that would still deal for Laine at this point?
I think there are. I do. I think there are. And, you know, I'm not going to say which ones. I don't think that's appropriate right now. But I think there are, and I think it's going to be very interesting to watch. I mean, with Patrick, the biggest thing is, you know, when you get him, you need to know what you're getting. And you're not getting a guy that's going to be a stout defensive player that you're going to put on the ice at the end of a game to defend the lead. You're getting a player that his entire life has always been able to score, and that's always been his thing. You know, you look at his NHL numbers, they're gaudy in a good way. I mean, they're gaudy. And, you know, I don't think he's ever scored less. You'd have to correct me, but I don't think he's ever scored less than 28 goals in any one season he's been in the league. That's pretty amazing when you think about it. So now it's all about offense with him, and I think there's some teams out there that probably could use some of his offense. And I think if he is in the market, I think he'll get picked up.
Yeah, and last year I thought he really improved and showed that he was willing to do some different things, become a more complete player. Columbus is the obvious. Want to see him in Torts because I think it would be a beautiful relationship.
Well, Yarmol, right?
And Line A, is this also, in hearing what Andy Scott and Mike Liut saying, feels a little bit like Domi, where it's not just about the cash and the long-term contract. Philosophically, they just feel like the coach isn't using him properly.
Well, again, everybody's got their own vision for how they want their team to be built and how they want their team to play. And if he doesn't fit into that with what Paul Maurice is trying to do out there, then maybe it's best that he does move along.
All right, well, we will see what the weekend brings. There's still a few names that are out there that are of interest, and who knows?
Are you surprised, by the way, that Hoffman hasn't been signed yet, you guys?
See, Elliot Friedman said last night that he's looking at a one-year deal with somebody, so potentially could come. So maybe that's where it at. Maybe
shocking, though, don't you find?
Would you take him on your team? I wouldn't.
No, but I'm just
no. I know
because
yeah.
The offense is such a premium in the league.
Yeah,
he was such a one.
Yeah, he was such a one-dimensional player here, Pierre, and having nothing to do with the off-ice part. But no, I know what you're saying. Still, hey, it's hard to find goals. But hey, there's Duclair after scoring 23 last year, sitting at home as well.
I heard people on different shows on free agency day saying he would be one of the first guys signed.
Talking about Hoffman.
Yeah, Hoffman.
Yeah.
And that, and big dollars and big term, and that definitely has not materialized.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it comes as soon as today. We'll find out, and we'll talk about it with you after the weekend. Enjoy your weekend, Pierre. We look forward to chatting with you again on Monday.
Thanks for an awesome week, you guys. Take care. Be safe, everybody. Enjoy your family. Take care.
Yeah, I don't know if the tight pants and hammer. I'm trying to think of it. And Stony Mondays was really there in the summertime, so I was probably rocking a bad pair of jean shorts, probably some flip-flops that had been broken, and that one of them was probably tied down underneath to try to get through the night. Maybe a T-shirt that I'd worn too many times, but whatever it was, great tune. And you're rocking some nice tunes today. I love it.
Some tasty tunes, as you like to say, here for a Friday morning.
David Bowie, I'll put that on another list of it. And again, I don't listen a ton. Every time one of his tunes comes on, you're like, man, should be listening to that more.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you got the music streaming service now.
No, I do.
Unfortunately, your gym and your building has been closed, so now you got to get out there in the blades again to get your exercise in.
Yeah.
All right, pop the earbuds in, get the best of Bowie going. You're all set.
I don't know. I'm going to be in Old Riverside South at the Dacha this summer weekend, so I think I'm going to run to the bridge and back. And so the Vimy Bridge.
Just don't go to Barhaven.
No, oh God, okay. No.
Because Hammer's got the gate put up.
Yeah,
there.
You only go if you really. I use a McDonald's there.
If you're really what?
Yeah.
Desperate?
Yeah.
No, what's wrong with Barhaven?
I'd like to see them shut down that bridge and you guys to have some sort of duel.
Or just line up on either side of the river there and just start
little gunfight.
Firing up pee balloons like an old panda game.
Oh, there you go.
Frozen pee balloons.
A little launch action.
Oh, what? I hadn't thought of that, but I want to see it. As AJ would say, I want to see that.
I want to see it.
All right, welcome back. 8:42. We're going to talk some minor hockey. Gary Hopkins is the president of HEO Hockey Eastern Ontario, and he's going to join us in about a half hour or so. And we'll get an update on what's going on with minor hockey in Eastern Ontario. We had Nepean and Cumberland announce yesterday that they are going to be closing things down. I don't have an update from all the other associations. I don't know if parents know what is going on, because right now we got some associations shutting things down. We've got others that maybe are still ongoing. So anyway, Gary will fill us in on what's going on with minor hockey coming up at about 9:10.
Yeah, an email, and one of the boys, Maddie or Zach's practice is canceled for Sunday morning, I believe. And I saw Leitrim had talked about cutting down to 10, so I've got to think the domino effect here, JR, and kind of trying to explain kids that are at home school versus school and kids that are going to school, whether you need to be going to hockey practice right now, probably trending towards the entire city being shut down at some point. Then you get into, and I've been in the rink business way back, but our practice rink in Washington, interestingly enough, JR, I think went bankrupt four times because it was a private group, but we kind of rented the space out. Running an ice rink anywhere when you're up and running totally, I mean, the Sensplex West has had struggles financially over the years. Like, it's a tall task. Think how busy that place is. Like, at some point here, you're also trending towards a lot of these private facilities are probably just going to take the ice out because economically, it's not going to be viable.
All right. So we'll talk to Gary Hopkins coming up at about 9:10 or so. Let's get to, and we had issues with our texting machine a little earlier, and all of a sudden, it just went bonkers for about an hour.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, things opened up.
Just lit up like a Christmas tree?
Exactly. Nice. So let's get caught up a little bit. Got some wrenches coaches, some thoughts on Dadnoff. Technology and stuff, Wrench, to me, for criticizing JR's sports update yesterday, knocked it out of the park today. That's from Mike in Kanata.
It combines class winning and leading, you know, technology and stuff.
The reason I led with that one, because it's I don't get a lot of praise.
Is this about you?
Yeah, well, exactly. And I did knock it out of the park today, although... Because that one ran at 6 o'clock and we just rerun the same one. Yeah. There's no updates, but I did say that the Steelers are 4-1. They are 4-0.
But you are beautiful.
Rich to me for that on that one right there.
But you are beautifully consistent because you do not receive praise and at the same time you never give it.
good point.
And I think yesterday you did that on purpose just so people would realize how incredibly good you are at it. You got to have some bad days, right? Like for some of the guys, it's like any sports. Like if you're good all the time, people just
don't recognize that.
Like at home. Like I don't think you get I don't think you get near the credit from your family.
It's assumed excellence. Right?
It is exactly. Exactly.
I thought it was because you set the bar low at home that now there's no expectations at all.
And I've lived this and I felt that my ex-father-in-law, Italian fella, had kids that all seemed to want to live off of him. This guy did everything all the time for everybody. And then when Christmas and Father's Day would roll around, he got the worst gifts.
Oh, no.
And I'd just be like, yeah, hey man, I'm feeling it right here. You're not getting any love because this is all they know. They only know that you're excellent all the time.
Tom texts and says, massive wrench to Le'Veon Bell, who will find something to whine about by week 8. That's from Tom.
Water out of plastic, away from plastic towards like drink box water bottles sort of things.
Does that knucklehead end up with the defending Super Bowl champions?
Yeah, and I don't feel like we're going to hear anything out of his pie hole, to be honest with you. I mean, he's only one comment away from being cut again. I think he'll put the head down, do the work, and try to realize, hey, is this because the Allaire fella in the red zone, I guess, isn't really capable? Is that what they're, that's where their struggle is, right? I mean,
he's not the biggest guy. He's not going to move the pile.
Yeah, exactly. In open, field, they're doing fine.
Yeah.
They have not had the ability to get that ball inside. That's where he's looking, and he's probably going to be able to put up some nice stats.
Well, absolutely, and he's going to be able to, I would think the thinking for him is, first of all, an awesome offense, so he's going to get some opportunities, but just a chance to rebuild his brand is the right way to put it, but get himself some touches and put up some numbers and get himself back on the market and maybe rehabilitate his image around the rest of the NFL.
Yeah, and for that, JR, like his prime time in Pittsburgh, he did it all, right? Like he was great receiving the ball out of the backfield.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
All-round back. You could make the argument he's top two or three all-round backs in the NFL, but it's been now since he's left Pittsburgh, right? It's been... Well, he sat out the year, and then the last year and a half in New York, it's not been good.
No, this would be the wrong thing to say. I'm cheering for him. I like the year he sat out, to be honest with you. I don't think, and I know it's collectively bargained, you want to franchise me once, okay, run me into the ground. Doing it again and knowing for running backs, I didn't mind his tactic then. It was just, hey, what was your worth going to be coming out of it, and why the hell did you sign with the Jets? I guess it was just try to recoup as much money as you could.
Don in Kanata wants a Gary Bettman wrench to Eugene Melnyk just because. That's from Don.
Come on, another half for Commissioner Gary Bettman.
Triple D writes, as a Colts fan, it hurts me to hear you speak of the Colts like this, Simmer, but I understand Patriots fans don't know much about football, so I won't hold it against you. That's from Triple D, the original. When you had said earlier this morning, because the Colts have had some positive tests apparently for COVID overnight, so... Yeah. Things right now, they've closed the facility. We'll see what that means for their game this weekend. But you said, I don't know anybody on the Colts except for Philip Rivers.
Yeah.
They're a pretty anonymous team.
Yeah, no, also just scan through my own fantasy team. And the fact that I don't have anybody, I really don't care. So that puts it back to it as well.
Eric writes, interesting to note that Artem Zub and Dadnoff both played for St. Petersburg in 2016-17 when they won the Gagarin Cup, the KHL championship. Thought that was pretty cool from Eric.
Eric, it is. And for what Mr. Zub is, now you got the tie with Anisimov and Zaitsev and Abramov. And I don't know how that relates or what it means. What it does mean, JR, certainly for the younger players, if you're ever trying to bring Russian players in, and I'll say this almost always, I think in a lot of cases it's better to have two at a time versus one or none. So any transition, any comfort level certainly helps. So they've opened the door and pretty good chance you could have as many as five Russian players on the Ottawa roster this year, which makes the Russian ambassador and the Russian embassy here in Ottawa extremely happy as one of my neighbors.
Yeah, there you go. Christian writes, good morning, guys. I need you to help me with this feeling I've got right now. Hearing you guys talk about Dadnoff and possible lines, is this hope I'm feeling? That comes from Christian.
You know what, Christian, I thought there was going to be a wrench coming. I had a little hesitation. And I know whatever the National Post article, I'm assuming that fella is eating omelets and Barbados flies down. I actually, if you remove all the past, again, positive article. Go back to the draft. Very exciting. Getting Stutzle, even though he had the surgery, I think is better than Byfield. Getting Murray in a trade and doing this, hey, there is no doubt a lot of this builds up. But I don't think for any of us, unfortunately, you know, I look at this and think, okay, well, if they do this, they're going to sign Connor Brown. We're kind of wondering, and this is what it's going to take with the Ottawa Senators, is to continue the forward progress. I was a little surprised to report that not Pierre LeBrun saying that they think they're going to continue to do things. I was surprised that the door is still open for Anthony Duclair. Like, I don't really look at this lineup now, JR, and if I'm trying to build a competitive team, I think that would end up being a real overload, would it not, as far as what you're trying to accomplish? I don't see room for him for the lineup I'm putting together right now.
Well, you got Brady Tkachuk. You've said that Timmy Stützle is going to play in the left wing to start. So there's one, two. I'm thinking that you're thinking, if you're the Sens, that Alex Formanton is going to play in the three hole.
Yeah.
On the left side. And well,
I got Paul and Balcer.
Yeah, you
basically.
Got Paul. You just signed. Yeah. And by the way, great interview with Nick Paul yesterday. And in the box, if you missed it, TSN1200.ca to find that's got some real nice things to say about his relationship with DJ Smith. But that seems to be. I don't see where there's room for Anthony Duclair.
No, and the other side, Dadonov. I want to say a little N in there all the time. Connor Brown, Batherson, Watson, and Abramov on the right side. And again, I know you need scoring, but as I said, if I was rolling into a playoff right now, I don't see that happen. I basically look at this signing, and I'd want Connor Brown that I would move past Duclair.
Wrench to everyone being so skeptical about the Sens. Cough, JR. Trust the process. That's from Unsigned.
This didn't impact the game.
Did you say this didn't impact the game?
I didn't say it didn't impact the game.
I think it's healthy skepticism. I just want to see how it plays out.
I just want to throw it out there that, again,
just to reiterate my point, is that, the Dadonov deal is a great one, and it's getting rave reviews right across the board. And I like the term and the money, and I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I don't know a lot about Dadonov. I couldn't pick him. If he came in here and punched me in the face, I wouldn't know who he is for the first time. But we would thank him. 28 goals is 28 goals. There's no taking that away from. My only point was that $5 million that he got, was that money that had been earmarked for a Connor Brown, not to $5 million, but Connor Brown's extension. They basically said, we're not going to be able to get him signed, and he gets moved out. And my only point is, long-term, a Connor Brown-type player is exactly the type of player you need if you're going to be a playoff contender.
Well, and I think you actually need both, JR, right? I mean, I look at this, and really for the forward group. And then the other thing from Ottawa's side, like, I kind of look down the road at Montreal's doing, and is Eugene Melnyk seeing this and thinking, okay, because I always go back to kind of 2011, they were firing in all cylinders and bringing in Bishop and getting tourists and doing some really good things. Then all of a sudden you want to fast track the rebuild. Now, part of that was Daniel Alfredson leaving, but you turned around and forced the Bobby Ryan trade, which I knew was trending in the right wrong direction from day one. What you look at this and just say, okay, it's going to be a little bit of a process here. What I think for Pierre Dorion, I don't want to say you have to be careful, but when the owner then gives you a green light to go out and get Murray and to get Dadonov, his expectations of where your hockey club is at might be completely different now, meaning your owner, when he said, listen, now you got a green light to spend, does he expect this team now to make the playoffs? And I still don't with that decor. They're trending in the right direction in a couple of years just from within. You're going to have a hell of a hockey team, but I still do not look at this team as it sits on paper right now as being able to make the playoffs next year.
Connor Brown is DJ's guy. He's not going anywhere. That comes from Unsigned, and that for sure is a possibility, absolutely. But again, without knowing we're not in the middle of contract negotiation, if there is one going on right now, all we know is that there's an arbitration hearing set for Thursday, and if it actually gets to that day, at that point, there can't be a settlement. You're getting he's getting a one-year deal, and he's 1 year away from unrestricted free agency, and I don't like when the clock starts ticking on a good player. With that, we saw it with, not that he's Mark Stone, but we saw it with Mark Stone, and Mark Stone is no longer with the Ottawa Senators. I don't like that. That's the type of player in Connor Brown that teams go out and overpay for at a trade deadline every single year. You got a guy here in-house right now, sign him to a reasonable deal, an extension of 3 or 4 years, and have him locked in.
Yeah, and I agree. And now, and I've also said, and I'll say the Ottawa side, like if I'm Ottawa and we've thrown around a bunch of numbers before COVID, I would look at this, and I was talking to Jeff Jackson. I'd say, listen, I like your player. I'm not paying him more than Tyler Toffoli, who just signed for 4 times. You know what I mean? So a reset of the market and what he might get in a 1 year in arbitration and then trying to do an extension, I could see where you've entered in some difficult territory. And even at 31 years old, I would never financially compare Dadonov as a player to Connor Brown. Connor Brown is a tremendous foot soldier. And I don't want to go bonkers on the guy, but when I look at Dadonov and his skill set, JR, making people better, like he is clearly a better hockey player, but it takes all kinds of different mixes. So just presenting all sides, like trying to find it, like maybe Connor Brown's group thinks, wow, I kind of got leverage here in Ottawa. Coach likes it. Everybody likes him. I'm chatting him up all the time. Maybe finding a number right now might be a little bit difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. And my point in all this, I still see, despite the optimism of Pierre McGuire, that he thinks Ottawa could be a playoff contender next year. I just don't see it at this point. I think they're trending. All indications are trending in the right direction for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
But I still see this as a timeline of 2 to 3 years down the road in which Ottawa is in the playoffs and maybe making some noise there. Well, at that point, Dadonov's fallen off your radar. He's 34 years old.
Yeah.
You know, Connor Brown at that point is going to be 29. He's going to be a key veteran on that team. Yeah. So that's what I'm looking down the line. I'm not looking at next year.
No,
I'm looking down the line in team building.
But I just, and again, you go back to all these feelings you had. I just feel like, and there's times where, hey, they thought with Duchesne coming in, they could win a Stanley Cup. I'm just wondering what the read is from the owner right now as to where your club is at. And then the other part is really trying to sort out the center ice and have that at a championship pedigree. On paper right now, it makes me optimistic on some things. And then the other thing, when you look at the Russian guys, a lot of them heavy smokers, JR. So
cigarette sales are good.
I never forget that. We had this guy, Tatarinov, that we brought over, one of the first Russian players. And first of all, it cost us $30,000 to fix his teeth.
Wow.
Yeah. No, they were
not from a puck in the mouth.
No, that was from smoking. But anyway, some of these guys, every time I ran into McGillney, he was always smoking, him and Bure. And it just shocked me. I remember back in the day. Anyways, having some fun with it. Okay, now everything's optimistic. And can you be patient in trying to rebuild the hockey team and rebuild the business? This is going to be the trick for everybody involved that works for the Ottawa Senators. What does Eugene Melnyk, now that everyone's telling you how great the team is, does he think that they're supposed to make the playoffs next year? And if he does, then that's going to bring a lot of internal pressure and put a lot of pressure on the manager, down to the coaches, and down to the players.
Well, I tell you what he did say. He did say this week they're going to win the Stanley Cup within 4 years, so the clock is ticking. As we say,
I think if they didn't make it this year and then forward progress, I don't think that that's crazy to say something like that. What is, when you look at the team right now, is to say, hey, this is a lock to even make the playoffs.
Unsigned writes, why in God's name is Ottawa not gunning for Sergachev? Let's be ruthless. Grab him from Tampa for free. Shabbat Sergachev. 1-2. That comes from Unsigned. Well, first of all, he wouldn't be free. He'd be given up compensation in the form of a lot, or at least one, if not, depending on the salary, a first round. Now, here is the thing about signing these offer sheets where you're up at that price level, is you are giving up your first round draft pick next year. And if somehow, some way, it didn't work out and your team was a lottery team, then you could be giving up the first pick in the draft.
Yeah, and
that's the roll of the dice.
Yeah, and I don't even know who the hell the draft is. I mean, you would have a legitimate discussion right now. I don't think there's a Lafreniere or whoever else. I get there's always good players, but hey, would you trade that first overall pick for Sergachev if you're Ottawa? I don't think they're in that spot, JR. And also, not that he wouldn't. I mean, if somebody comes to Sergachev and says, listen, here's 7 years, here's $8 million per, I don't think he cares where it is. He's going to take the money. But Ottawa probably not in that spot right now. Maybe a year from now.
All right. Any concern on Dadonov that his NHL success is more based on elite line mates in Florida? He won't have a Huberdeau or a Barkov feeding him here. Sort of a Bobby coming from Anaheim vibe to me. That comes from Chris.
Yeah, Chris. No, I don't. And I watch Bobby Ryan a lot. Real good shot, real good goal scorer. And he played with good players in Anaheim. His skating was an issue. Fitness was an issue. Was trending in the wrong direction when he came to Ottawa. Continued on that. No, this guy's a real nice hockey player, but I don't want to look past that either. I mean, hey, we are talking about two world-class players in Barkov and Huberdeau, JR, right? And Ottawa doesn't have that, but I still look at his skill set. excellent hockey sense, can immerse with anybody. And like I said, if I wanted to get Colin White up and running and maybe throw him with Brady Tkachuk, I think that'd be a pretty good line.
What do you think about my idea that I forwarded to Pierre about, and again, such uncertain times right now with a flat cap looking like the next 2 to 3 years, if you're the Ottawa Senators, and here's going to be the difference, you know, to have sustained excellence, like keeping your window open as long as you can, you have to make some really, really prudent decisions with your young players. And I'm talking about going out, going to them right now and saying, we want to extend you long-term.
Yeah.
We're going to guarantee you, obviously, some pretty good dollars here.
Yeah.
But, you know, as opposed to maybe playing it out for the next year or two, you as young players, where you might play yourself into bigger dollars, we'll guarantee you now, but lesser dollars.
Yeah.
So the Bathursons and the Norrises of the world, where you go to them with an offer of a 6 or a 7 year extension.
Yeah.
What do you think about that idea, or do you think it's too much of a roll of the dice?
No, JR, I don't mind it. And again, you're never going to be right on everybody, but I would put Formanton on the list. I would put Willanen at some point on that list, and maybe some of the other, you know, Brännström a little, I don't know what to make of him. But
because
for sure,
I think, you know, you've already obviously locked in huge dollars to Shabbat. You're hoping you'll be able to lock in huge dollars for Tkachuk. You're hopeful that you will be locking in big dollars for Timmy Stützle because he's going to be awesome. And on Jake Sanderson because you hope he's going to be awesome. Those will be your big money guys.
Yeah.
If you can have a layer in underneath of really good players that are on good contracts, I wonder if you try that.
Yeah, no, Nashville's been very good at it. And I'll back to Ottawa. Hey, you can focus on Cowan. And although I think Cowan, if he was healthy, would have been different. But on the case of Greening, that was bad. But what they did with Turris and Carlson was genius. I mean, Kyle Turris was one of the best bargains in the NHL for, what was it, 5 times 3.5 that he played here?
Mm-hmm.
Eric Carlson coming right off of a Norris Trophy. Brian Murray goes to him, signs an extension. So, no, hey, if you can identify, which your own players, that should be your strength, is identifying. Now, can't always go right in injuries and other things. But, no, I think from Ottawa's side, that'd be real smart. The issue you'll run into that you might want to get in front of as well is that all of a sudden, 2 years from now, you've had some success, and Colin White is a third-line center. As the Norrises and other guys start coming through, they're going to say, well, listen, I really appreciate that you want to extend my contract, but I don't want to make less than Colin White.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate part of that, right?
Yeah,
right.
No, a lot of guys are going to come right out of that and say, hey, this is great. You guys, what was it, 6 years?
6.8.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I'm not making less than $5 million then.
All right. Let's see here. Wrench, for being a Colts fan, Triple D, the go Pats. That comes from Unsigned.
You know, Loops actually had to kind of drag me back in the bench.
The farm team wants to throw a wrench at Hammer's crossover. That's from the farm team.
What's the matter?
Damn door issue.
Yeah, because it's a minivan. That's why the wrench is there.
It is not a minivan. There's no sliding side doors.
Oh, is that what constitutes
that,
minivan
that
versus
is the
crossover?
Main
well, he just had the doors changed. Still got captain shares.
All I know is in the odd day that you're driving that thing, I go, there goes Hammer in his minivan. That's all I'm thinking. That's all.
You can't think that.
All right, 9:01. We'll take a break. Get you the latest news from 580 CFRA. Run down the scoreboard for you. The Astros stay alive with a walk-off home run, and the Braves batter the Dodgers. So we got the Rays and the Braves with a chance to finish things off tonight. So we'll talk a little bit of baseball in the next hour. But when we return, more of your wrenches on this Wrench Throwing Friday. We'll do This Day in Sports History and celebrate some sports birthdays. And we're going to talk minor hockey here in Eastern Ontario with Gary Hopkins, the president of HEO. That's when we return, right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200.